The number one concern for data center development, speed to power, is how can they get on the grid as fast as possible.
AI can be both opportunity and risk for the utility industry and the economy more broadly.
We're probably in 1998, very early days. In over 5 to 10 years, we will start getting a better handle on what is AI going to do.
Without speed to power, none of those four elements are really possible at scale.
The NVIDIA CEO has a great quote. He says, you're not going to lose your job to AI, but you're going to lose your job to someone using AI.
What are the national security implications of AI?
Having a clear understanding of what you're solving for is always going to be the first starting point.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Power Perspectives. I'm Kinsey Grant Baker. When we talk about the impact of AI on the power industry, it's about more than never-ending queues and power-hungry data centers. Like any other industry in our modern economy, energy is poised to undergo significant, impactful changes as artificial intelligence proliferates from the security profile to the workforce. So today, we're exploring how AI is transforming operations, planning, and resilience across three illuminating angles with Paul Quinlan, who leads energy research and co-heads Scott Madden's Grid Edge Community of Practice. Paul, welcome to Power Perspectives. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm happy to have you here. We have a great conversation teed up today. And I will just note quickly before we dive in, this episode is brought to you by our friends and partners at Scott Madden. So keep listening to hear more about their transformative work in the power industry. And now, Paul, I think it's a good time to jump in. You know, I mentioned that we have three angles here. I want to come at this conversation about the implications of AI with those three distinct goals, largely inspired by Scott Madden's recently published industry update on AI and energy. So those three elements that we're going to cover today, number one, what are the national security implications of AI? Number two, how does AI shift the utility business model? And number three, how will AI impact the energy workforce of the future? Now, before we dig into all of those, though, Paul, I would love if you could just introduce yourself. Do you mind telling me a little bit more about your background? What do you do at Scott Madden? And how did you get into the energy sector?
Certainly. So I've been in the energy space now for 15 years, over 10 of those have been with Scott Madden. We're a mid-sized management consulting firm working in electricity and natural gas. My role, I have a couple different hats, support multiple client engagements over the years, have worked with electric cooperatives, investor-owned utilities, independent power producers, investment funds. I've looked at a number of different technologies over the years, renewables, solar and wind, battery storage, nuclear, SMRs, electric vehicles. And then I've done everything from market research to policy analysis to strategic planning and workforce development. So I have a pretty broad view of the industry and where things have been over the last decade or two. And my role is, in addition to that, as you mentioned, co-lead a Grid Edge Community of Practice. And we look at a couple of things there, energy storage, grid planning, as well as electrification or some of the topics that we look at there. And then also I sit on a research team where we monitor and track industry trends and produce thought leadership, including our energy industry update, which comes out one or two times a year. And prior to Scott Madden, I spent some time working on state energy policy and also tracking the economic impact of renewable energy portfolio standards in the state of North Carolina.
So you have quite the resume, Paula. I think you're a great person to have on the show to talk about some of these big implications that we mentioned. You know, you also brought up here the work that you do on research. And as I mentioned, Scott Madden recently put out that energy industry update that you were talking about there. Can you tell me a little bit more about this update specifically on AI and energy? What was some of the context or the inspiration for putting this report together, for putting it out? And if you have any headline takeaways before we kind of dig into more of the particular elements of the report.
Energy and AI is a topic, obviously, that's all consuming at this point for the industry. Data centers, large load growth. And we wanted to take a look at some of the other aspects that are pertinent to this conversation. And so one big one is the national security implications. The Trump administration, even the administration prior, has spent a lot of time thinking about and promoting AI and making sure that the U.S. is in a strong position in that space. So what does that mean for the electric sector? And so we wanted to look at that piece. How does that, those two elements meet? And what's the implications? And then also how it's starting to be used in the energy sector. So it's still much very early days in AI and people figuring out how to use it and beyond just opening up ChatGPT on their cell phone. So what are some of those use cases and where is it providing value for enterprises?
Yeah, I think it's an important point to make before we dig into those particulars is, you know, so often on this show and in many conversations that I have with people in the industry, we think about AI almost exclusively as an external force that is changing the priorities, changing the queue, changing, you know, the demand structure of the utility industry. It's also a tool, right? It's also something that we can implement ourselves as people who work in this industry. And I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that today in this conversation. But before we get into, you know, national security, I think is a great place to start. But before we get into that, I'm curious if you could just give me, to kick us off in a little bit of the biggest picture sense, when we think about how electric utilities are responding to the need for more power that comes with this proliferation of AI, how does that change things like load forecasting, you know, scaling capital plans? When we're, you know, kicking this off, what feels like the biggest or the most monumental change that we should use to kind of root this conversation in?
One of the big changes is that I don't think there's any precedent for the utilities here. So when you think of load forecasts, this is a new general use technology, has potentially implications to touch everything. Everything will be AI enabled in the future. Data centers may run this. There may be inference at data centers or on chips and devices down the road. And so there's no good benchmark for utilities to use to go back to and look at, this is what happened last time. Everybody is learning how to use it at the same time. Everybody in the US is installing data centers at the same time, and all the utilities all at once are trying to figure out, how do we manage this load? How do we forecast it? And how do we make sure we keep the grid both reliable, but also then meet all the load and expectations that come with serving the grid?
Yeah, totally. And there now are an increasingly complex paradigm of you know, different kinds of customers. We have the everyday people who are you know, paying their electric bill at the end of the month, but we also have these hyperscalers, and trying to balance those has obviously been a huge story and a huge challenge for the utility industry. So with that in mind, let's dig into some of these elements that we were talking about at the beginning of this conversation. And to kick us off, I'd love to start with national security and AI. You know, the White House, DOE, they've both emphasized that AI can be both opportunity and risk for the utility industry and the economy more broadly. Can you walk me through some of the top level national security concerns that the U.S. has when it comes to AI and energy and the role that utilities might play in that, you know, calculus of figuring out the opportunity versus risk?
It really comes down to the U.S. competing with China. And both countries are looking to dominate in the AI space going forward. That has economic ramifications, that has political ramifications, military ramifications, and influence in geopolitics. So the country that wins that race could be in a positive position relative to their counterpart going forward. And there's really four areas that it can be broken down into, where the two countries are competing. And so the first one is advanced semiconductors. So this is the manufacturing and development of the chips or GPUs. NVIDIA is the top company there right now in the world that develops and manufactures some of the most powerful GPUs. The US's strategy over the last couple of years is to put an export ban to prevent chips going to China and some other countries as well. So that way that top technology stays with the U.S. and our allies. So that's one piece of it where the U.S. remains ahead. The second one is compute and cloud. And so that's the ability to actually be able to use these tools and those chips to do AI work. A lot of training. We see frontier models being trained, multiple frontier models in the U.S. being trained. And so the U.S. again is a leader there of having more compute power than China at this point. The third one is then AI models. So the actual models that then are being developed and deployed. There's the US has a number of frontier models. Those are the ones that come to mind for everybody, ChatGPT, Gemini, but they're all closed models. So the way they're constructed, the way they're weighted, all of that is kept confidential by the companies. What we see in China instead is a number of open models. And so DeepSeek is an example of that, where it's able to be diffused and spread across the globe much more easily than some of the U.S. models and be adapted by other countries. So the one concern there is that China is going to be able to distribute their models quicker, faster to more portions of the globe that way. And then the fourth component is data. And so being able to train the models on clean data, good data, is going to become increasingly important. And so there's questions of which company has or which country has the best access to that data to be able to either make scientific developments or produce the best models. And so with the backdrop of those four things, what is we see in the US now is speed to power is the number one concern for data center developments. How can they get on the grid as fast as possible? And for the US to maintain a lead in that AI race, being able to build these data centers and be able to leverage that technology has become important for the administration. You see a number of administrative actions that have been taken. In June, they produced an AI action plan and also an executive order to accelerate federal permitting of data centers as well. So this is something that is a top priority and dovetails with energy because of the speed to power component.
Totally. And you know, to your point, without speed to power, none of those four elements are really possible at scale. When we talk about the impact of regulatory expectations, executive orders, like you mentioned before, I'm curious if there's a notable or noticeable difference between the former Biden administration and this Trump 2.0 over the last, you know, a year now almost that we've had President Trump back in office. Do you feel like there has been any sort of notable difference in the ways that those two administrations have approached national security as it pertains to energy and utilities, or has it been largely similar?
Mixed bag. In some regards, it's been similar. There's a high priority placed on energy and developing new energy sources. I think it's more heightened with this new administration, those two connecting the AI and energy space. The best example might be on the inauguration day, there was an executive order signed to create the National Energy Emergency. And so there was a lot of powers that are enacted or authorized in that executive order. Not all of them have been used to date, but it's certainly a tool that could be used to help develop AI as the administration continues to try to promote this industry going forward. One place where there's maybe more similarity is there's been a continued challenge on siting and permitting, federal siting and permitting. And so this has been a reoccurring issue for the last couple of years of if we can't build natural gas pipelines, if we can't build transmission and it takes 10 years to do anything, we're going to have challenges to develop the AI capabilities in the U.S. And so that has continued into this administration trying to figure out how do you accelerate siting and permitting in a responsible way to be able to facilitate the adoption and use of AI.
Let's talk now about how AI is shifting the energy business model. At the highest level, can you tell me the impact of AI on the typical utility business? You know, what are some of the big contours or themes or conversations that are coming up when utility execs, leaders, operators are talking about how AI might change the way that they do business?
The big one is the strong growth in demand and meeting that in a timely fashion. That is front of mind for everybody. And there's challenges there. There's the most recent forecast is over $1.1 trillion in investment happening over 5 years to build out distribution, to build out transmission, to implement or develop generation. And so that's basically a doubling of what we were doing a decade ago in terms of investment. So one immediate challenge that the industry has is how do you scale capital plans? How do you scale and build everything that's on the table in the next 5 years on an accelerated timeline? The energy industry is competing with everything else that we're building. We're trying to onshore manufacturing in the U.S. We're building LNG. We're building data centers. And so there's a premium for skilled labor, electricians, plumbers, welders, all the craft trade that is needed to be able to build this out quickly to provide that speed to power. So that is the biggest challenge that everyone is thinking about right now. Secondarily, they're also thinking about how to use AI in their operations day to day as well.
And how would you say they primarily are using AI in those day to day operations?
The energy sector is probably tracking similar to all the other industries. So everyone 2 years, 3 years ago, got ChatGPT and have been trying to figure out what the value is there. Where you see enterprise value and things actually working is when what good looks like is when there's a clean data set and that is used to train a model to do a specific thing. And so that's where you see some of the bigger value, bigger opportunities with AI. And that will probably be true going forward as well. It won't necessarily be ChatGPT or Gemini, these large language models solving business problems. It'll be custom-built tools using plant data or industry data to solve for discrete problems. So a couple examples where we've seen this work. Vistra's a company with a number of different generation assets, and they built a heat rate optimizer. And so with 2 years of data at a plant plus an AI model, they now have the ability for operators to get every 30 minutes set points that are recommended by the AI tool to modify the settings on the plant as they're operating it. And as a result of those, they're increasing the heat rate efficiency by 1 to 2% of their plants and saving $4 million a year. And so that's an example of a custom built model being used for to solve a problem. Some others that exist out there, there's another company, their startup called Blue Wave Labs. They've built a moisture carryover model, and that's looking at nuclear plants. And one of the challenges there is excess moisture in the steam that's going into the turbine. And the more steam there, the more water there is, it creates maintenance issues, corrosion, cracking. And so because of the complexity of the plant, they've been able to model out what the and predict what this excess moisture is going to be to help operators reduce that over time. And then even when it comes to the financial aspect, there's a company called NukeLearn, and what they've done is created an AI model. They've trained it on NRC data. They've trained it on nuclear filings and technical documents, and they're able to review work and find and break out work into CapEx and OpEx for reporting purposes with regulators. There's a lot of different areas where AI could be used over time, but it'll have to be well-trained models with a specific purpose to really find significant value beyond ChatGPT type applications.
Yeah, I'm curious if you think in the broad sense that the utility industry is perceiving this proliferation of AI as more, you know, and it's both certainly at the same time, but do you think the perception is that it's more of, you know, a cost driver? We got to build grid systems that can service hyperscalers to win their business for all of these XYZ reasons that we've talked about today, or, you know, an opportunity, an efficiency tool, an unlock? Do you think that there is one of those two sides is kind of having the scales tipped in that direction? What's the perception like out in the industry right now?
Probably both. It depends on where you sit. If you are responsible for planning, the load growth is going to be all you're thinking about day to day. But if you work in operations, then you're trying to efficiently operate your facilities, finding the tools and techniques to be able to save money is going to be more front of mind. So really, depending on where you are sitting in the utility, or if you're an independent power producer and you just have generation assets, where you're sitting is really going to dictate kind of how you're thinking about it and what's keeping you up at night.
Yeah, certainly makes a lot of sense. And, you know, one other element of this, the business model of today and the business model of the future for utilities and for utility leaders who are listening today, I think the other sort of simultaneous transformation that it feels like the industry is undergoing is this shift toward, you know, increasingly complex distributed energy, DER type environments. I'm curious what kind of role AI plays in helping to manage distributed resources and new grid edge assets that maybe weren't so popular or so common, let's say a decade or two ago. What's the role of AI there?
It's probably still early days there because folks are trying to figure out where the value is and how to apply these tools. A number of the DER aggregators are using AI to enhance their offerings at this point. But you can look at places like Google has a moonshot initiative called Tapestry, and Tapestry signed up with PJM to help them work through the interconnection queue. That was largely done at the transmission level, but Tapestry is now moving into distribution with some utilities. And so that'll take some time to figure out how to apply the technology and resources more at a distribution level, where which could overlap with those DERs to be able to better operate the grid. Another example that comes to mind is Tesla has a number of different offerings. One is, they've got their energy product, but with that, they have something called AutoBidder. And AutoBidder is a tool that they have built to help bid and manage battery systems. And it works for their big batteries in the UK. Some of the top performing batteries are Tesla batteries using AutoBidder. But on the flip side, they're also working with Green Mountain Power in Vermont, which has a very large residential battery storage program. And the AutoBidder is the program that is helping manage and dispatch those batteries at the residential level. So it's looking at ISO New England, it's understanding the market, it's understanding day-ahead prices, real-time prices, and then figuring out how to properly manage those resources for the benefit of the utility. So I think we'll see more and more of that analytics and better operations over time, and then possibly as well the integration and addition of DERs as well. But that it's a long, long lead time for these tools to be built out and work well.
Nothing happens tomorrow when we're talking about tech. But, you know, a lot of the examples that have been really helpful and illustrative that you have given today, Paul, have, I think, been good examples, too, of partnership. I know that partnership was one of the elements of this AI and energy report that Scott Badham put out. Can you tell me just, you know, what comes to mind when you're thinking about what proactive partnerships might look like when we're talking about the impacts of AI in this next gen tech on utility business models? How do proactive and positive partnerships work? Are there any common themes or factors or things that might be helpful for our utility listeners who are tuning in today to keep in mind? Is there sort of fielding what kind of partnerships might make the most sense for them?
I think first it's to understand the why. So what problem, business problem are you solving for? If you understand what challenges you have, you then have an opportunity to figure out how may AI assist to solve it. And then you can evaluate potential partners that have existing products or solutions or the capabilities to partner with the utility to build those out within their operations. And so having a clear understanding of what you're solving for is always going to be the first starting point. Initially, AI came out and everybody was just handed a genie in a box with ChatGTP, but no one really stopped to say, what are we trying to use this for? And then how do we apply that to fit the need? And so there's a little bit of flipping that model of what's the problem and now how do we build an AI tool to help us with that?
Yeah, totally. And you know, I think there has been a lot of an increase in maturity in the way that even, you know, people I work with in media, people I work with in the energy space, the ways that we're using these AI tools is getting more sophisticated and advanced and thoughtful instead of just, you know, a replacement for Google or a journal or whatever your preferred use case is for a lot of these. And I think this is, you know, a good moment to hit that last big question that you touched on just a bit when we were talking about utility business models. But I want to spend some time today too talking about specifically AI and the energy workforce. This is a topic that is certainly front of mind for many of the people who are listening to this episode. So broadly speaking, how do you think that AI could change the energy workforce over the next decade, you know, with specific regard to skills, roles that will be in high demand as utilities continue to digitize operations like we've been talking about today? What do you think are the big changes to be on the lookout for?
So I don't know if the composition of the workforce is going to change, but what may change is the skill set. So the NVIDIA CEO has a great quote. He says, you're not going to lose your job to AI, but you're going to lose your job to someone using AI. And so that will become a mandatory skill set for everybody working in the industry going forward over time. There could be opportunities for automation as we move forward. However, that may be incremental over time. And where you will see some intersection is electricity and energy is a critical infrastructure. So we're probably going to keep a human in the loop or involved in that process for a good long time before a lot of automation happens, where we'll have to have a high degree of confidence before handing off a lot of activities or operations to AI. So what that will require is for folks that are doing jobs today to figure out the AI-enabled tools that will become available, how to use them, and then interact with those to make sure that we are saving money or improving operations or expanding the grid as fast as possible using the AI tools that are there.
Yeah, it's interesting to kind of, you know, position the changes to the everyday job of people who work at utilities, knowing that we automation is a great opportunity, but that we still want to kind of have someone over the shoulder. It is in an industry that is so focused on redundancy and backup power and no mistakes can afford to be made. You know, that is very much the ethos of the energy industry. So I imagine that will, you know, continue. And it also brings to mind, you know, we've talked on the show a lot before about the changing requirements of what it takes to be successful in the utility industry today. You mentioned some of those before about just, you know, changes in skills and how we can continue to upskill, reskill, train people to meet this moment, to work in a modern utility and in a modern energy industry. What do you think workforce training might look like if it might evolve with the, you know, AI deployment as it continues? Do you see any opportunities there for our listeners today to potentially consider new opportunities for workforce training or development or reskilling?
One of the areas where AI, both in the energy sector and outside, has the potential to have the greatest impact his training and education. There's something called Bloom's Two Sigma Problem. And when you take students and you give them a one-on-one tutor, their learning is two standard deviations greater than students in a classroom. And so AI has the potential to customize and increase the learning value for K through 12, all the way up to skilled workforces. And so this will be another one that'll have a long runway to figure out how to do that well, how to tailor that. Today, we've seen a lot of augmented reality, virtual reality type training. That's probably going to become AI enabled over time to have different use cases or provide feedback in real time. But there could be a very broad shift in education over time that is tailors the training to the individual. There's another kind of thought then around education is young professionals. What's the impact of AI on them? And there's also a potential opportunity to have AI mentors. So if you think of apprenticeships and whatnot, you've got senior experienced people training younger, more junior folks. Down the road in the AI future where a lot more is developed, you could have AI mentors where you're giving feedback on a greater frequency to help younger professionals grow and develop faster. So there's probably a lot of opportunities over the long term for AI to have a big impact on training, education, both in our sector and more broadly across the economy.
Yeah, really, really interesting to think about what that might look like. Certainly to imagine what a training module might be in the next 5-10 years is a compelling thought. You know, Paul, I'm curious with all of the conversation that we have had today. You know, we've talked about some of the challenges, the opportunities. When you look ahead, do you feel, and I'll give you a couple options here, I would say optimistic, neutral, challenged / pessimistic. When you think about the future of AI and energy, do you think we can rise to the occasion? Do you think we still have some work to do? Where do you fall in terms of your idea of what that future might look like?
I'll go challenged optimistic. So I think the next 5 years are going to be very difficult for the industry. We have not had load growth of any significant nature for over a decade. And now we're looking at rates that go back to the many decades ago. So near term, next 5 years, significant challenge on forecasting, building, executing well, and keeping the lights on while making sure these data centers are able to power up. I think after we get out of 5 year window, things will start to clarify. We'll have better vision on what are the use cases, what's the actual demand, is inference occurring in data centers, or is it happening somewhere else? And so I think the planning will get better, or at least utilities will have more visibility into, okay, here's how this is happening. The analogy that comes to mind is Google was founded in 1998 to organize the internet. And that was a time when people were still trying to figure out, how do I use email? And it wasn't until 2007 that the first iPhone hit the market. So we're probably in 1998, very early days. And over 5 to 10 years, we will start getting a better handle on what is AI going to do? How can it improve business models? And then be able to plan accordingly. So transitions are messy. There's going to be some bumps, but I think overall, the industry will be able to rise to the challenge.
Yeah, I love that analogy. You know, how often do people also say, I wish I could have invested in Google or Apple in the 90s or early 2000s? I mean, there's certainly a lot of opportunity in the challenge that lies ahead if you can pick a winner and stick with it. So, you know, Paula, I think we have covered so much today, so much great context and information for our audience. And if you're down, I would love to transition into our quick lightning round. So I will ask you a couple of quick rapid fire questions to close us out with some fun. So if you're down, I'll kick us off.
Sounds good.
Awesome. So number one, what is the most important misconception about the intersection of AI and energy that you would like to correct for the record today?
I think it's slowly emerging, but we live in or have started off with a large language model first paradigm. And so that's the Gemini, that's the ChatGPT. Where we're starting to see the actual enterprise value is small language models. And so that's something I would watch going forward, because not only are those the ones producing value for enterprises, but their energy use is much lower. And so when we go back to those load forecasts, they might look different if small language models become the way that this evolves over time.
And certainly a good option to have on the table. Okay, next question. Can you give us a quick piece of advice or insight to any of the utility execs who might be listening, who feel like they're losing a little sleep over the impact of AI on their businesses, what would you say to them?
Continue to pilot and innovate. AI is sometimes called a jagged frontier. You might try it and think it's gonna be able to do this, and you get a terrible result. And then one day it'll surprise you with something else, and it does it very well. Because all this is new for everybody, nobody knows where it's good, where it works well. And the only way to find that frontier of where it works well and where it doesn't is to keep trying. So find those business use cases, innovate, pilot, and then scale where you find winners.
I love it. Now, this last one, we kind of covered a little bit when I was asking you if you're optimistic or pessimistic about the future. But when you look ahead to that future, and let's call it 5 years from now, do you see, based on our current trajectory, do you see the energy industry rising to the occasion of these AI challenges? And if you do not, what specific moves, strategic chances should be taken today to make sure that we can rise to that occasion?
It won't be without bumps, but I think they will. And I think the keys to success are going to be nimble, try new things, and then be willing to course correct. So nobody has the answer here. Everybody's in the same boat of this is new for everybody. The utility is at the crossroads of having to supply the power to make it all happen. And so a lot of attention is going to be on them. And so they just got to be willing to be nimble, try new things, and for regulators, be willing to work with them and course correct as needed. So everybody's got to be trying to solve this problem together so we can succeed.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, to the extent that we can borrow a little from the tech culture of, you know, fail fast, right? If you're going to try something that doesn't work, figure it out quick. And I know it's tough for utilities in a highly regulated industry that is responsible for people's lives every single day, but it is certainly a good note to end on. So Paul, thank you so much for joining me today to tell us all more about the great work that you and the team at Scott Madden are doing at the intersection of AI and energy and the future. And really quickly, I want to tell our listeners a little bit more about that work at Scott Madden. Scott Madden knows energy from the ground up. Since 1983, they have served as energy consultants for hundreds of utilities, large and small, including all of the top 20. Scott Madden focuses on transmission and distribution, the grid edge, generation, energy markets, rates and regulation, enterprise sustainability, and corporate services. Their broad, deep utility expertise is not theoretical. It's experience-based. Scott Madden has helped their clients develop and implement strategies, improve critical operations, reorganize departments and entire companies, and implement myriad initiatives. To learn more, head to scottmadden.com. Paul, thank you so much again for joining me today. I really, really appreciate you coming by and sharing all this great insight with our audience.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And thank you to all of you listeners for tuning in. As always, you can head to the show notes to learn more about Scott Madden and check out some other great resources. And I will see you next time.